few Sundays ago, I started introducing you to Jesus. Who is he? First message was his first sermon, the Anointed One. You know, where he stood up in the synagogue and turned to Isaiah. But he didn't have a King James version of the Bible. How about that? Turned to the old prophet Isaiah and he began to read that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him and anointed him to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who were opposed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He was the Anointed One. You remember that during that service, people began to look around at each other in the synagogue and started questioning, how can this be? How can we know his mother? We know his brothers. They live here. How can this lad that grew up in our community be the Messiah? He knew they were questioning in their mind, and so he called them out on it. And they became angry with him. They rejected him. So we saw him first as the Anointed One and then as the Rejected One. They rejected him so bad until they literally got up out of their seats, went up to Jesus, got a hold of him, drug him out of the synagogue, drug him outside of town, and there was a cliff out there and they were going to throw him over, kill him. You know how he kind of got loose from them and made his way through the crowd and disappeared. He dealt with that rejection. So he's the Anointed One, he's the Rejected One. Jesus left that part of the country, left his hometown, he left his home country, and he went on down to a place in Galilee called Capernaum. I want to read you this lesson. It introduces another part of Jesus' life. He was teaching them on the Sabbath, again in the synagogue, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet. Come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him into their midst, it came out of him, and it did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word this is! For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." Amen. And the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. Now he arose from the synagogue. Jesus arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served them. When the sun was settled, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." But he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Holy Spirit, this is time for the Word of God. I humbly ask you, Lord, to allow your anointing to anoint the ears of your people to hear. Anoint the hearts of your people to understand and receive the Word of God. And anoint these feeble lips of clay, Lord, that we might be able to speak the Word of God with discernment, that it might do its work in introducing the greatest man who has ever lived on the face of this earth, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and our Savior. And everybody said, amen. Jesus, the Anointed One, now shows himself as having authority over Satan to deliver men from demon possession. In our day and age, and in the church world today, we don't hear much about it. Some years ago, there was a movie came out, and they were casting out the devil out of this young woman, The Exorcist. I never went to see it. They put it into a movie form. This was no movie where Jesus was. First of all, how many would expect to run into the devil in church? They tell the story about a couple of fellows that found devil suits, and they ran into this local little church and ran down the aisle, and they had their pitchforks and everything, and everybody emptied the church except one individual sitting on the front row, and they ran up and jumped at her. She said, "Now hold on here a minute. I've been in this church 40 years, but I've been on your side the whole time." You wouldn't expect to find the devil in church, but that's where he came that day. While Jesus was teaching, and he doesn't tell us what he was teaching about, doesn't offer the subject of the day. I don't know whether he was reading again from Isaiah about his anointing or not, but he was teaching, and the people, the Bible says here that the people were astonished. They were spellbound, listening to Jesus teaching these words. of wisdom and with authority. He was teaching with authority. And while he was teaching, while his sermon was going on, while he was in the process of giving the truth to this church full of people, this man got up in the midst and began to scream and cry out. Bible says with a loud voice. And this is what he was saying. Let us alone. What have we to do with you? Suppose you were sitting in church here some Sunday morning and somebody got up out of the seat and started screaming, let us alone. What did we have to do with you? And what do you have to do with us? Jesus. You're Jesus. Would you come down here to destroy us? I know who you are. Even the devil testified. You're the Holy One of God. Wow. The devil knows who he is. I want you to notice, first of all, Jesus went back to church. I mean, he could have said, boy, I'm going back home and that's it. First time I went to church to preach, they tried to kill me. So I'm just going to quit. Aren't you glad Jesus kept on? Amen. I know individuals every now and then they come to church and somebody don't shake their hand from this side of the church, or somebody goes out and they think they looked at him cross-eyed or something like that. Well, I'm not going back there anymore. I'm just going to stay home. I'll watch the preacher on television. That's all right when you can't get out. Well, I think I read in the book someplace where it said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, and such so much more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. Glory. Jesus kept going back. He went back to the synagogue. He had a message. He was determined to deliver the message to the people. I've been sent here with the Word. How many of you know the Word of God? You know it's the Word of God. You know it's the Book of God. You know it holds the truth. You know it has a message for sinful man. You know it has a message for the community in which we live. How many of you are determined with all of your heart like Jesus, whether they receive it or not, I'm going to tell it to them.
Amen.
That was Jesus. He had the truth and he wasn't ashamed of it. Amen.
Amen.
He wasn't ashamed to go on the job, so to speak, and speak of the truth. How many of us are we ashamed to go on the job? Are we ashamed in the grocery store? Are we ashamed wherever we find ourselves at the family reunion to stand up for the truth of God's Word and declare it to be the truth that will set you free? Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus was not ashamed of it, and he wasn't about to keep quiet about it. He had the words of life for mankind. And I'm telling you this morning, you have the words of life. You are around people every day almost. Those of you that are out and about, you're on the job, you're out shopping, you're doing other things. And as you're mingling with the people of the world, you have the words of life for a dying people.
Amen.
The people around you are dying and going to hell. They're lost. They're without God. They're without Christ. And within you are the words of truth to give to them the words of life. Give them hope. I thought the other day as they started a new meeting down in Boonesboro. It's a support group. They're getting together all of the parents and relatives of people who have OD'd on heroin. And they're going to share their stories, and they're hopeful that as they share their stories, they can maybe help someone else to not OD on heroin. I hope that part of that story that they're sharing is the truth of the Word of God. That's where the deliverance is. That's where the hope is. That's where the help is. And friends, you and I, like Jesus, we have the truth. We need to be able to share that truth. Read a little article the other day by people that got up this morning and they didn't make it till evening. They weren't expecting to die that day. Judge Scalia took a trip to Texas and with up to have a party with some friends down there. And they had their party in the evening, and he retired to bed expecting to get up the next morning and come back to Washington. But he died. Maybe the individual that you're working alongside of, maybe your neighbor that's just across the street. I heard somebody say to me the other day, you know, I had in my mind to go visit somebody, and I thought about it and I wanted to go get it done, and I just put it off and I put it off, and all of a sudden somebody told me they died. We need to take advantage like Jesus, and in the moment and at the time, while we have the truth, while we have the hope and the words of life to give men and women hope, we need to share that word with them so that they can have life as well. The summer that I was back from my first year of college, between first and second year of college, Linda and I came back up here to spend the summer, and I got a job at Ben Thomas Trailer Factory over at State Line, putting house trailers together. And there were a couple of preachers there, and I noticed that when lunchtime came, they went back in the corner and sat down with their Bible and their lunch. There's all of these men around there, and they were men that lived raucous lives. I knew some of them. And so at lunchtime, I took my lunch box and went up and sat down right in the middle of them. And don't you know, I never brought religion up one time. But they did, because they knew the preacher was there. They brought it up, and I had an opportunity to share the truth. To share the Word of God. They opened up to it. Oh yeah, they got on some subjects like sex and stuff, thinking that I didn't know anything about it. And I'd be embarrassed. And I said, don't you know the Word of God talks about it quite a bit? God gives us the perception of what it's supposed to be, instead of what some of you all treat it as. And so before the summer was over, one of those guys who had, I don't know, I think it was close to 12 kids, started coming to church. We have the truth. Jesus had the truth. He has the hope, and He's given it to us, and it's time to take it and use it for His glory and honor. But while He is sharing this hope and this life and this truth, this man with a demon within him rises up, shows himself publicly through a man that he had taken over. A man who had a spirit of an unclean demon cried out with a loud voice. He disrupted the calm atmosphere in which Jesus was teaching the truth. I want you to know that the truth will disturb the devil. It'll make him angry. You begin to share the Word of God. You begin to share the truth. And it'll get down into the regions of the heart and soul where people live. People who are serving the devil get angry when the truth cuts into their wickedness. And they'll lash out against it. Oh, I've had those times. People didn't like what the Word of God says. Take your religion and peddle it somewhere, someplace else. I don't want to hear about that. Because, and when they're saying that, I know the Word of God is like a sharp two-edged sword, dividing and piercing between the soul and the spirit. Amen? Cutting down into the heart, getting down to the nitty-gritty. You can expect it. There will be times when you share the Word of God, the truth, the have that gives hope to mankind, that when that Word begins to divide into the soul and the spirit of individuals who are hearing it from you, they won't like it and they'll get angry about it. But that's not on your case. I think it was D.L. Moody. He told young preachers, he said, when you go into the ministry, you will do one of two things. You'll either make people mad or glad. One of the two. And it is the truth. You see it with Jesus. He proclaimed the truth. And when he did, they either got mad or they got glad. The devil cried out, "Let us alone. Don't disturb us in our sin. We don't want to be bothered. We like what we're doing. Stop preaching to us." They've gotten so bad on the job anymore that they've tried to pass laws to make you keep quiet on the job. But do you know your life speaks louder than words? You go on the job and you live like Christ, and you have the peace of God in your heart, and you have the truth of Christ in your life, and you live like a child of God, you live like a follower of Jesus Christ, they're going to want to know what makes you different. You don't have to speak up sometime. If they don't want you to open your mouth, just open your life.
Amen.
Let them see the peace. Let them see the love. Let them see the kindness. Let them see the gentleness. Let them see the force of Jesus in your life. That's greater preaching sometimes than taking your book and thumping somebody over the head. Amen? "What do you want to do?" said the devil. "You want to destroy us?" Absolutely. He knew what Jesus was about. And one of these days, that same demon that cried out of that man in that synagogue, that same demon, hallelujah, is going to bend his knee and bow when the King of Kings comes. Hallelujah! Glory! What do you want to do? Destroy us? We have a right to live any old way we please. Doesn't that sound like the world? Let me alone. If I want to drink, I'm going to drink. If I want to smoke, I'm going to smoke. Ain't none of y'all going to tell me what to do. That's the attitude of the world. That's the attitude of the devil. And when anybody's talking like that, you know who's talking. Hello? It's not Jesus. If it's not Jesus, who is it? It's the devil. That's who it is. Speaking out, "Let us alone. Let us be. We want to live any old way we please." I want you to notice the devil confesses who Jesus is. "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Oh, hallelujah. He's more than just Jesus of Nazareth. He is holy. Hallelujah. We don't have to be ashamed of who Jesus is. That He is holy. Don't be embarrassed to live a holy life like Jesus. You get ashamed of who you are and who Jesus is, there's something wrong deep inside. Amen? When you're ashamed of the holiness and living a pure life and living a righteous life. I used to work with a man one summer in high school. My dad had a job with a contractor out of Chambersburg, and they hired me on $1 an hour. Wow, I was making big money. Pick and shovel. He hired me on and he put me with this other fella. Hey, you know, that was a rude awakening. I was used to Dad. Dad was a good man. He never cussed, he never swore, he never got angry. He was a Christian man. And boy, that old contractor put me on the job with a downright devil. He was married but run women every night. He drank, he cussed, he did you name it, he did it. And that's who he put me with to work with all day long. But guess what? I let my life shine for Jesus. Amen. He knew by the end of the day where I stood the first day. He knew I wasn't cussing, I wasn't drinking, I wasn't smoking, and I wasn't running women. I had my eye on a couple in high school. I got one of them. Or she got me, one of the two. Happy Valentine, honey. I wasn't ashamed of Jesus to open up the Lord before this man. I'd tell him things and he'd scratch his head and said, I never heard anything like that. He never went to church. He never knew the Bible. He never read the Bible. He didn't know anything about it. I was the only Bible he came in contact with. And sometimes that's the way it is. And guess what? Jesus put you there. He allowed you to be there so that your life could penetrate. The light of Christ could penetrate the darkness and bring light to those who are bound for eternity without God. You're their only hope. Don't be embarrassed. I want you to know He is more than just Jesus of Nazareth. He's not only holy. This devil not only said you're the Holy One, he said you are God. Oh, hallelujah! Glory! He's the one who created the universe and the things that are in the universe. He is divine. Hallelujah! He's the Lord of glory. King of kings, Lord of lords. Hallelujah! And He's my Jesus, and I represent Him. I think one writer said, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah! When I run into that cantankerous sinner that the devil's using and talking through and walking in, hallelujah, I can come face to face with them with the knowledge that the one that I serve is far greater than the devil. Amen. You don't need to cower. You don't need to be afraid. There's none equal to Jesus. There's none equal to Christ. He is about to put the devil in his place. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you that He can put the devil in his place every time. Jesus spoke to that devil and rebuked him. Hallelujah. I was in Popeye's a couple days ago. I like Popeyes. Anybody like Popeyes? I like their chicken. I like their beans and rice. Ooh. 5 more minutes, we can go get beans and rice. This old fella in front of me was a grumbling and complaining, cussing and swearing and using vulgar language. And he was looking right at me while he was doing it. I was standing there waiting to give my order. He was waiting on his. I thought, boy, you're grouchy. And I turned to him and he used the name of my Lord. And I turned and I said, sir, you need to be careful how you're using my master's name. He dropped his head, grabbed his bag, and out the door he went. We don't need to cower for the devil. We don't need to cower for the wickedness of this old world. I don't care how much they rant and rage. I remember Dr. Fisher. He was my overseer when I was in the Church of God here in the state of Maryland. He had two little boys. They moved to a new house. And the neighbor across the street had two little chihuahuas. And every time his boys went out in the front yard to play, here come those chihuahuas charging across the street, bristles up, mouths yapping, and the teeth are showing, and scared the little boys and back in. And Dr. Fisher was looking out the window one day and saw this, and he got the boys by the hands and he said, come here. And they went out. He went out with the two little boys, one in each hand. And here come the chihuahuas, just a charging and a railing and a jumping and a hollering. And when they got up close to Dr. Fisher, he went, boo! Across the road they went. The devil knows who's in you. The devil knows whether you have Jesus or not. The devil knows whether or not you're filled with the Christ of Calvary. He's been face to face with Jesus. And he knows whether or not he's in you. And when you come into his presence, you don't have to cower and fear, because greater is the Christ that is in you than he that's in the world. All you need to say is, boo! Why are you saying boo? Say, Jesus. Jesus is not afraid to take on the devil. He can stand flat-footed, look the devil right in the eye, and call him out. Amen? Amen. Been a couple of times in high school, some fellow wanted to pick on someone else. We had a stout boy in our class, and this guy was picking on him one day, and I went up to him. I said, you want to pick on somebody? Pick on me. Come on, bring it on. He stopped picking on him. Called him out. We can call the devil out. Make sure Jesus is in you. Make sure you've got the power of Christ with you. But when you do, and he raises his ugly head and spills his ugly voice, then you can look him square in the eye and call him out. The name of the Lord. I want to introduce you, Jesus. He's able to deliver you from the power of the enemy. You don't have to cower from the devil. God has victory. Second part of this message this morning. Jesus, the Anointed One, now shows himself as the healer of mankind. Church is over. And you know, as should be sometimes, one of the members invited Jesus home for dinner. Simon Peter said, come on over. And so Jesus, after church and the synagogue, after he dealt with the devil, how do you like that? First Sunday he went to church, they drug him out to kill him, and the second Sunday he went to church, the devil showed up. Got home from church, went home with Simon, and when he walked in the door, Simon's wife, I assume that's who it was. Doesn't say so in the Bible, so don't go home and tell somebody Pastor Lay said the Bible says. But anyhow, they came to Jesus and said, hey, I can imagine Simon's wife says, my mom is in there in the bedroom. She's sick with a high fever. She's burning up. You see, she had an infection of some sort. That's why you have a fever, isn't it? Rite Aid was closed that day. They couldn't get any antibiotic. So said, Jesus, go in. So Jesus went in, stood over her. That's what the Bible says. You picture this. Thought maybe I'd have a picture of Jesus standing over the bed healing. There she is. Yeah. See, I barely turn around and look at this. All right. So there he is. He goes in, he stands over, and instead of saying to Simon, run down to the drugstore and get some antibiotics and give it to her, call Luke the doctor and let him come in and make a prescription out, Jesus rebuked the fever. Now, our kids was growing up, sometimes they'd get a fever. Be at night, instead of packing them up and going to the emergency room, we'd lay hands on them and pray for them. Fevers would leave. Jesus rebuked that fever. And it left. Somebody say, praise the Lord. This is a new thing here. After the morning of church, he comes in, he prays over her, he rebukes the fever, and the fever leaves, and apparently she was healed completely. She got up off of the bed and went to work helping to fix the lunch. You see, I see a lot of people there, I'm not feeling good. I'm feeling better, but I'm going to stay here in bed and just take it easy. And she got up. She got busy. You know, I never was one of these people that when you're feeling bad, you just lay around. Get up. Get about it. Get going. If you're going to feel bad, I was visiting a man not too long ago, and he said, I've got pain all the time. I asked him to come to church. Come on to church. Come on to church. And well, I got pain. I said, you might as well hurt in church as hurt at home. Amen. That's just what I told him. Amen. Either way, she got up, she went busy. She got busy, she started working. She didn't lay around for the rest of the day. Get up and get moving. And I believe when we pray, we need to get up and get moving. Yes. Trust the Lord. Now the sun's setting. Lunch is over. They've been maybe taking a nap or two in the afternoon, and sun's going down, and there's a knock at the door. Simon goes, see who's there. Well, this is your neighbor down the road. My child's sick. Could Jesus pray for it? And so Jesus comes out of the house into the street, and lo and behold, looking up and down the street, here they come. From everywhere, there's people coming. There's a line of people, and this is what the Bible says. Here is your Jesus. I want you to see your Jesus. He's out there laying hands. He puts his hands on them and prays, and they're healed. The diseases are taken away. The sickness is gone. My grandmother lived on Lane's Run, just about a quarter of a mile from where Brother Louis lives. And used to be, I spent the summers with her. A couple of years I stayed with her, and through the last half of the third grade and all of the fourth grade, and went to school from her house out at Indian Springs. And it used to be that people would come to her house. They were sick. They would come to her house and she'd lay hands on them and pray for them, and they'd leave well. She couldn't read or write. She never read the Bible. She couldn't read or write a word. But she knew how to pray. She knew how to touch Jesus. I'm telling you, Jesus is with you. And wherever you're at, when somebody says something, I'm not feeling well, I'm not doing good, lay hands on them. Begin to pray. and see what God will do. God can transform. So you see this picture. He has authority and power over. That's who my Jesus is. He's given you authority over the devil. He has the ability and the power to heal. And He has given you the gift of healing. All you have to do is pray in the name of Jesus. He laid hands on them, and even while he was in that healing line, there were people who had demons that were cast out, and they went home well, and they went home whole. See, you have Jesus. This is your Jesus. He's with you. Johnny, your neighbor up there that's disabled, you can go over and lay hands on her and pray for her. In the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter who it is. If they come to work someday, somebody comes and says, I'm not feeling good today. Just walk up and lay hands on their shoulder and begin to pray. Amen. The Lord is there. No telling what can happen when you invoke the power and the blessings of Christ. You see, this is who Jesus is. The Anointed One. Get acquainted with Him. He said He is with you always. He goes with you to the store. He goes with you to the job. He goes with you on vacation. He goes with you skiing down the slope. He goes everywhere you go. He is right there. Introduce Him to all you meet because He wants to heal. He wants to deliver. He wants to meet the needs of people. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Stand with me this morning.
Pastor, can I give a testimony? I've been doing this thing last year, and some friends came up yesterday and prayed for me and said I'm near the breakthrough. And it was a lot of emotional, spiritual, physical stuff. So this morning when I woke up, I was really in mad, mad shape. As Bob could tell. And I didn't really feel I could go to church, but I thought I had to go to church. If I could just walk in the door, it would be lifted. Well, it didn't take that long. I mean, it's been on and off this morning, but I said to Pastor, I didn't know what he was going to talk about. I said, I made it here this morning because there's going to be a blessing. Right?
Amen.
And the blessing was exactly what he just said to him, that I felt before we go home today, those that can stay should meet and pray corporately for each other, lay hands on each other. That's what I felt. Because the body of Christ, we need the warmth, we need the inner warmth that goes into each little cell. So we aren't anxious and we don't get so uptight and afraid. This is the house of love.
Amen.
And the house of love is here. I made it here, and it's like I've been sitting here praying, and I've been, since 7:30 this morning, I've been praying, and it's like, okay, He's saying it. He's talking about Jesus the healer. Hallelujah. Jesus the deliverer. Because sometimes we can't just determine whether our need is physical or emotional or spiritual. Sometimes it's all wrapped up. But God knows.
Amen.
So if I can ask you, if you can ask the people to stay for corporate prayer if you can.
Bible says pray one for another. We can do this very conveniently. Turn to your neighbor. Get close to your neighbor. Did you have to go across the aisle? Get somebody. I want you to lay hands on.